kind of fascinating discussion we have. You will all appreciate that somebody who transforms city of Mexico in terms of its transportation system, its environmental record, this ranks really as one of the most outstanding examples of leadership that we have in a megacity. And we then went on to discuss Toronto. And it was, all I can say in all honesty is the mayor's jaw drops several times when we talk about some of the policy initiatives of the last few years. It's absolutely wonderful to have you here with us. The topic that Mayor Bard is going to speak about today is not about city governance, but I think it's fair to say that he will answer questions about that if you have them. But he is going to talk about NAFTA, past, present, and future. It is 20 years of the signing of the North American Free Trade Agreement, and there are a whole host of issues on the NAFTA agenda. We have Stephen Clarkson in the room. Stephen is one of Canada's outstanding experts on this issue. I told the mayor that for those of us who pay attention to this issue, we heard from the ambassador to Canada, the Mexican ambassador to Canada, one of the frankest, most open, and most critical discussions of Canada's failure to appreciate the potential of Mexico and the importance of the NAFTA agreement. So you're visit with us could not be more timely. Welcome to the Monk School. Let me just tell everybody that the mayor will speak, and then our students will pass around cards. That's how we do it here. You will have the opportunity to write your question down, and I will try to ask as many as I can before the mayor has to leave. Welcome to the
Thank you very much for this opportunity to share with you some thoughts about NAFTA. I'm not a specialist in NAFTA. I am the former mayor of Mexico City. But let me introduce some reflections and thoughts about this. Well, first of all, I should say that NAFTA produces for Mexico the positive balance point of view. A lot of things we right now export much more than in the past. Mexico has an extended manufacturing facilities. As a matter of fact, the most important one is in America, especially in car industry, but not only. And we have a lot of, you can say, positive effects in terms of macroeconomics figures that we can have today. But the question with Mexico about NAFTA, and more than NAFTA, also about our policies in Mexico, our decisions in Mexico, is this one. 20 years later, how can you compare the inequality and poverty information that we, the data that we had in Mexico, with the data that we had in 2013. In 93, you had 51% of the population in poverty. 2013, 51% of the population in poverty. So, if you have a success in the economic terms, why the problem is the same? The other thing, we have the NAFTA agreement working on. A lot of things there, I mentioned some of them. But the average economic growth in the country is about 2%. Below the Latin American average in the same period. something is wrong. You don't have enough girls in the country. And the problem is the same, that you speak the best. You need to start to think in what's wrong, basically. The measures and policies that we are supporting in the country, or the lack of agendas, different agendas in Mexico, in order to take all the opportunities of this agreement, or their effects in Mexico. So, for instance, if you take Canada, Canada access to universities and education, right now it's about maybe 64%. Mexico, 28%. Can we invest a lot of money in order to expand the public university facilities in the country in the past 20 years?
No.
Why so? Because it was not a priority for the Mexican government. Should be, could be passing. What about if you ask for this new agenda of Mexico? What about innovation? In 93, everyone says, well, you are going to have a huge amount of direct foreign investment in Mexico. Never happens really. Not expected. But the only great argument in favor of NAFTA by the time in 2023 was Mexico is going to experiment and great technological transformation as a result of foreign investment and new activities. Well, it doesn't happen exactly as fair. Today in Mexico, you can compare this. In 93, you have 400 Mexican people applying for new patents in the country. Or less 400. Last year, 400. We don't have really an explanation of this except an idea, which is it's better to have innovation from abroad, and cheaper and faster, than open and make efforts by ourselves in order to increase the technological density of our activities, economic activities. So, I think that the main point to criticize NAFTA effects in Mexico is about our results in poverty, access to education, and innovation, which are not the result of NAFTA, are the results of our decisions in our agenda and our policies in the past 20 years. Something similar is going on today in Mexico, exactly the same thing. As far as the government promotes changes in the constitution in order to open private investment in oil and gas in Mexico, both from Mexico and parts of Mexico, in this year and the next year, they are expecting and arguing that this is going to happen a great transformation in our country just for make changes in the constitution and to have private investment like 10 years ago. Was the argument for NAFTA and the treatment, the treaty, free commerce with North America. So what's going on? Well, we should change our decisions and our policies in Mexico in order to have innovation, access to education, less privileged system, a very closed system in Mexico. Take a look, for instance, of the banking system in Mexico. In a country with 5% of inflation annually basis, you pay for your credit card 42%. Not allowed in Canada, not allowed by the on them, but the next case. They don't have incentives to put money in a risky way, to lend money and to economy activity. Why are you putting in risk your money if you have and you can have commissions about 14%? So you have a lot of incentives in our economies, the decision that we took in Mexico, against innovation and against the policy. And that's why we should change this. I think it's not going to be enough to wait for the effects of free market to have innovation, to have a more equal society in our country. This is the first thought that I would like to share with you. The second thought is, well, what about the future and the agenda between Mexico and Canada? Mexico and Canada, I didn't know that our ambassador, Mr. Suarez, was to fix the situation between Mexico and Canada yesterday or Sunday. But let me say that we should imagine a more or different agenda for the next years with Canada. We expected a lot of things from Canada when the NAFTA agreement was signed. Well, what happened also? As didn't the foreign investment expected, as didn't the innovation wave in our economy, as didn't all the things. The relationship with Canada was synthesized with the visa issue. If you want a visa in Mexico right now, well, I was looking because I had already visa, but if you want to obtain a visa from Canada, it's more difficult than the United States or all the countries. Maybe it's the most difficult visa to obtain in Mexico is the Canadian visa. And obviously this is a very important thing, because if you want to have here a meeting or whatever, business meeting, academic meeting, or it's difficult. Maybe you choose another place, which not to go to Canada to have a meeting of this kind if you are in Mexico. So the message for Mexico community in Mexico is that it doesn't matter really a lot the relationship between Mexico and Canada in the next years. It's not so important. It's the message. But should be another way. I think that we should pay attention and think the next 10 or 20 years what we want to do together, what kind of opportunities do we have in real terms. We are competing with other parts of the world. It's a very difficult world that is emerging right now. And it's going to affect us in the same way, Canada and also Mexico. We share a lot of things. I can put you some examples of that, if you allow me. When I was mayor of the city, in Mexico City we have 20,000 very well educated doctors and nurses, more or less. 70% of the medical advanced infrastructure of Mexico is in Mexico City. And I asked someday, why didn't we prepare in the past an agreement with Canadians about medical services and specialties development? Because it can be a smart thing to do for Mexico City and Canadians. Also, because it very extensive cover to have access to the high quality medical services. But we should pay attention to this kind of initiatives. They're realistic way of thinking. There are no political speeches. It's about new fields and new attitude and share a vision to middle family. Is that possible? Yes. Is going to happen? I don't know. I hope. Why is it so important to review the NAFTA 20 years later? It made a difference if I said, well, the NAFTA was a mistake. No. It doesn't matter 20 years later. Why is it so important to review this? To see the future. What lessons do we have from the past? In the case of Mexico, the main lesson, well, if we are expecting from a free trade agreement the solution of our problems, we are wrong. It's not going to happen. Maybe we are going to have more investment. Maybe we are going to have more companies. Maybe we are going to have some negative effects also. For instance, agricultural activities. Mexico. But if we want to solve our problems, we should accept them and confront them and propose long-term actions. For instance, in the past 20 years, we had a lot of money, huge amount of money from the oil. Why so? Because the price of international price of oil was, or used to be, less than $10. Now it's in $93. Huge amount of money. Did we invest this money in order to extend and guarantee the access of more people to our universities? No. Did we invest this money in order to improve our innovation and technological capacities? No. How many brilliant students of Mexico are studying right now here? Less than one country. Much less. More and more. Less. So, an important part of our way of thinking is in Mexico we need to take decisions addressing those issues that I mentioned, which are going to define if Mexico is going to be wealthier or not. If we have 28% of the population with access to university, the middle class in Mexico is 25%. This is a universal law. There is no way to have 45% of the middle class without access to university. So we should extend access to our universities. But we should also link our universities to the think tanks and the universities from Canada and the United States. Another part of the world, Canada in this case. Why not? So let's think and design a new agenda. Is that possible? Yes, I'm sure. In Mexico, we should know that they build an epoch society, take a lot of decisions in Mexico. But we can share with Canada objectives and also, most important, future. Let's think more and a visa or restriction, let him think more in what's going to happen in the next 20 years. Learn the lessons from NAFTA, from Canada, from it, and build another thing for the next 20 years. Thank you very much.
Water.
time. That would be great. So let me, thank the mayor. I'm gonna let Stephen Clarkson ask the first question in a minute while we're waiting. Let me just say that when you, oh, there we are, great. So I think we've got one, perfect. Just put your hand up and you'll get a card and then we'll collect very carefully. Before I turn to Stephen, while we're doing this, let me just say when you asked the question, did Mexico invest its oil money to improve access to education? You said, no. Did Canada invest its oil money to improve access to education? No. Much as you look at your own records or records, it's not far different from our records in over this period. Stephen, start us out while we're collecting cards. But, yeah, let's speak loudly so we can hear you. Your first question.
You can read it.
You don't even have to read it.
So, go ahead. Well, thank you very much for taking time to come and talk with us. I think a lot of us in Canada also feel that NAFTA has failed. But I think probably we would say the prime problem is the success of Al-Qaeda in changing the United States policy paradigm from economic liberalization to anti-terrorist paranoia. And anyway, I shouldn't take too much time. But I had really two questions. One was whether Mexico's frustration with NAFTA is the main reason why it has launched the Pacific Alliance with Chile and Peru and Colombia and Costa Rica. And that would be a kind of easy yes or no concept. But my main interest is that if you have a particular interest in the environment, what is your feeling about Mexico's very poor performance in environmental policy, which also raises the question of what it would do with the Pacific Alliance in terms of its dealing with major environmental problems?
Thank you, Stan. Mayor, did you start? And bring me all the other questions.
Yes, absolutely. Nice to meet you. I have read some articles and worked on it.
I apologize.
Well, I should say that the Mexican attempt right now to recognize or participate in the Pacific Alliance is about two issues. One, you have a high rate of people involved in silicon daily in the Mexican think tanks. It's everyone is waiting for these processes continue in the future. So the question is why Mexico is not there working with Peru and the other countries that participate in the Pacific Alliance. And the second idea is, well, our agenda with Canada and the United States are the same issues than in the past years. Economic terms and so it makes sense to look for a new opportunities, not instead of, but look for a new possibilities with other countries in the economic world, some of the world right now. So I think that's the idea behind these initiatives right now. The environmental issues. Well, I was talking this morning about this also. I think that you have in Mexico, and I expect new civil society activities and demands on the issue of environmental effects, especially in the energy field right now, because the Mexican government is promoting privatization and new investments in oil, gas, and electricity. So you are going to have a very important debate in the country about the environmental effects of this policy right now. Next week, next month, they are going to present to the government the regulation about this energy faster liberalization. So we are going to know what kind of regulation they are going to propose to protect the environment. And I expect a real important debate in Mexico about this, environmental effects of the energy liberalization. And should be also in the next election of 2015 a much more important debate about environmental issues. One of the disadvantages in this has been that our Green Party representation has been acting against the environmental main preoccupations in the country. So for the next election, I expect that due to the energy discussions that I mentioned, the environmental issue in the country is going to be more important from the opposition point of view, not necessarily the government, but the opposition and civil society.
Yes,
I hope
so.
I think, is that we have, in the past 30 years, the same vision of the country and the same agenda of the country. We have changed the government, right wing, PRI returns, but the vision and the ideology, the philosophy, I should say, about the economy and society is the same one. So the first thing to do to change this, to open mind, to say, hey, how is it possible to have 20 years with several measures, one of them, but another measures that you have taken as a package of changes. And at the end of the day, you have the same poverty in Mexico, so something is wrong. The first issue here is to admit and recognize something wrong with this. They say, we have a lot of value in the several states. No surprise, the country is not growing in economic terms, and you have the same poverty 20 years ago. What are you expecting? Problems, frustration, maybe violence. So the first step is to recognize and understand and make the question, something is wrong, what's wrong? What can we do to change the situation? For instance, we have maybe $70 billion not expected because increasing the oil prices all over the world. What if we invest this money not in expanded bureaucracy, not in pay debts in advance, but we put this money in order to guarantee in 10 years that you are going to double the access to university. That is possible goal. I'm not talking about wishful thinking. You can organize that. It's like the President Kennedy saying, we are going to put the man in the moon in 10 years. So Mexico can and should double the access to universities. It is a titanic effort that we should go for. But if you can organize this, the country, as a major national priority, you are going to change the society in Mexico. It's incredible the effect of this in our society. Let's say the poorest states of our country. The access to education, university and high school, is less than 15%. So the young people, what's the kind of options that you have as a young people who have access to it? In Japan or whatever, wherever, then you can go to Mexico City, you can go to the United States, risky, but you can do. Canada, forget it, it's impossible. And you can go to, to look for some way to gain money in the street. You don't have the support and access to follow your studies from secondary school to university. What if we open the door? We are going to change the states. If you review the Mexican situation in the South country, the social situation is exactly the same now than 20 years ago. No worse. So what to do? What to change? First of all, your diagnosis of the situation of the country. There are two ideas we want. One idea. We should open oil and gas because we cannot do it by ourselves. We need money in the short term. Okay, and then what else? No money. What's the other point of view or idea? Well, what if we invest in education, I mentioned, innovation, if we have the lack of innovation that we today observe in Mexico, and the lack of incentives for innovation, it's impossible to imagine in the next 10 or 20 years that Mexico is going to change really real fast. So what if we start to think with all their issues and all their problems? I think it's possible. And we should do it. Because the real facts are showing us that something is wrong and we should think in order from other point of view of the future of our country. I am optimistic, yes, because let me finish this with one thought. We can say NAFTA was a success or NAFTA was a disaster. Depends. 20 years later. But we cannot say the Mexican situation changed over here because the reality says something. So we should think the future in a different way than the past 20 years. It's like, this is like, if you allow me, in a military story, when the French army, after the First World War, prepared the second one, thinking of the past war. So they built the Ligne Reginald. Okay. They prepared the next war with the experience of possible. What happens in the Second World War? Well, the Germans pass through their tanks and say, bye-bye, Motion carries. Because the world changed. What's the meaning of that? We in Mexico are thinking in the past issues of the 90s, the ideology of the 90s, the Washington Consensus, the deregulation, the free market, recipe, radical. Okay, 20 years later, let's think in the next situation. Let's organize our priorities and our agenda in order to change the quality of the country, increase innovation, and design a future agenda, environmental concerns, for instance, human rights concerns, a new vision about the future. That's all.
Thank you for that answer. I'm mindful of your time, so we have time. I apologize to everybody, because I have 20 questions here. So I'm going to ask just the one, but just quickly, what's the principal obstacle, Mayor Bridle, to access to education? Is it inability to afford education? Is it beneath in the high school system? Is it in the elementary school system? If you wanted to double access to education, what obstacles do you face in doing that, other than surely money?
The main obstacle that we have, I mentioned, is that it hasn't been until today a national priority or national goal. We should put this in the center of the new agenda. Secondly, it is so unequal in our society that if you don't extend the public and for free facilities, university facilities, it's very difficult to guarantee the access of people. It was very expensive. The education fees are expensive everywhere. So, as far as you have that stagnation in the public facilities and offer, you have a huge amount of young people outside the system. So right now, I think that should be a national goal combining civil society, private sector, public sector, and everyone in order to reach the double in 10 years.
One last question before we let you go to your next meeting. Were you the elected president of Mexico? How would you change NAFTA? And how would you change policy towards Canada?
I should say that with Canada, we have a lot of things to do together. Not necessarily the NAFTA. And that is a very complex process to renegotiate a treaty. And if Mexico says, hey, I would like to renegotiate two articles, maybe the United States would like to renegotiate 10 articles. So it's going to be more expensive to say, change two for 10. So let's say that what if Canada and Mexico design a common agenda about how to compete with in the United States, with all the countries, and share middle-term actions in order to address this agenda. I put the example of medical services and facilities and equipment. There are many other initiatives similar to this one. I think it's possible, but requires another kind of attitude and contribution. The Mexican approach to Canada can be any more a visa issue. Let's say that it's more complex relationship. And let's imagine all the potential that we had. What happened in the past 20 years? For instance, we have signed Mexican institutions and agreement with this university. How many Mexican students are here today?
Raise your hand. Not enough.
Well, two of them.
Three.
Can be 50. We signed agreements, but but nothing happens. We should put in Mexico a grant for support the young people. That's the main core thing of studies here. But also to invite professors here from Canada to Mexico and to have a program with the goals, with the results, with the objectives together. What happens? When we sign the NAFTA, everyone talks about Canada-Mexico relationship. And what happens? Nothing. We forget the issue. We don't pay attention. Why? Because it takes more than 6 years. So the next order says, well, it doesn't matter. There are an agreement with the university, but who cares? So we need to design institutions with a middle-term objectives, resources, and the way to really obtain the objectives that we are proposing. Why Mexico is not sending more and more students to Canada, United States? We are talking right now with Canada or another country. Why? Well, they say no. Brain exports. We want to have information, access, discussions, and share the knowledge. And if you are in a country which is not investing in the knowledge and share the knowledge, you are going to have a great disadvantage. So we should change this. And so you are going to design a new agenda and follow this agenda. Because the future of us, Mexico and Canada, depends on it.
So,
well,
I thank you very, very much for a wonderful opportunity to spend time with you here in London School. It's really interesting because, just to make a comment about brain, we strongly encourage our students to go elsewhere for at least part of their education because everybody benefits when they do this. And yes, some don't come back, but many, many do, and we encourage them to go everywhere in the world. And it really enriches and creates a different perspective, so I completely agree with you. You know, we're also struck by what Brazil is doing, where very, very rich scholarship program. And the number of Brazilian students who come to the University of Toronto, you know, as a result of the Brazilian program, I think we increased by 500% the number of Brazilian students who come to the University of Toronto. So the university, unlike the government, gets it. And open and excited, really, at the opportunity to share students both ways, not only one way, because our students would benefit enormously from studying at Mexico University as well. We understand that. But to make one editorial comment, that these are policy, was our society exporting our problem to you? Because we couldn't manage our own systems and our own information systems. Never know that, given what CSEC is doing in this country. We cannot manage our information systems properly, and that's fundamentally what it is. But nevertheless, every Mexican colleague and friend that I know is deeply offended by this policy, and we hope that it's going to come to a very quick end. It's a policy that makes no sense. Absolutely no sense whatsoever. Let me thank you again. It's been just a privilege to have you with us. And in the few minutes we had together, we've extended an invitation to the mayor to come back and join us at a larger symposium. He's agreed. Now it's just the information systems and the logistics that we need to work out. But it was a treat to have you with us. I just misunderstand the mayor's next meeting's been moved back by about 15 minutes. Oh, there are students in the room. That's privileged for students, all right? Mexican students, Canadian students who have questions, we have time for informal chat. Thank you.